leg you got. That look like y'all got the legs covered between yourselves. Or uncovered. All right. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please, tonight. We'll be looking here in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord, and a free pardon of sin. And it's good every day of your life to just think on how good God's been and what God's done for you. Some pinches God got you out of. It's good to thank Him for some pinches He got you out of that you didn't even see coming and never even known they were a narrow escape. All right, take your Bible now, Luke chapter 9, verse 1. You're able to stand. Look there in the passage. The Bible said, then He called His 12 disciples together and He gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed, and they went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, he heard of all that was done by them, and he was perplexed, and because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead. And of some that Elias had appeared, and others said that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said unto John, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom that I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Now, Father, we ask a blessing upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Give us, I pray, holy boldness to be able to live for Thee and to be able to speak for Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Let me say to you that whenever we live in this world that we live in, it's a godless, it's a wicked, it's a faithless world that we live in. But I want to preach on following Christ and following along with Christ. In this world that we're looking at, let me tell you, don't ever expect to be popular for talking to people about church going, about living for the Lord, this and that. They'll most of the time try to blaspheme and curse and say something vulgar, vile, and that's worthless because it indicates what's on the inside of them. They're going to be people that are going to tell you, I used to remember witnessing to people and they'd look so adamant and they'd say, well, I had you to know I don't believe in God and heaven and hell and all that junk. I'd tell them, yeah, but you're going to. You know, there's not anybody in hell that doesn't believe just exactly like you do. Tell them that. That's the truth. They believe now, but it's too late for them. Make no mistake about it. I remember years ago, that a man that was in the Marine Corps, and he was a rat runner and this and that. And he'd go in there and go in them tunnels there and shoot them people. And he said he went over so many dead bodies, so many that maggots were eating up over there in the war in Vietnam. He said, in my mind, I thought there couldn't be no God in existence anywhere that would allow anybody, any place on the face of this earth to go through what these people are going through and about our comrades that we're losing in battle. He had a brother-in-law that preached to him, and as he preached to him, he said, I got to tell you, I don't believe in nothing you're saying. He said, don't matter if you believe it or not, you're going to hell when you die, if you die like you're in. And he said, well, I don't believe in hell. He said, you're going to when you get there, and I got news for you. All the rest of the world that believes that same way just needs somebody, somewhere with enough holy boldness to every time God opens up the door, speak the word of the Lord in there, and then the problem's going to be between them and God. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, Jesus Christ is calling the 12 out. And the Bible said that He's sending them out into the world, and notice they've got authority over all devils and also to cure diseases. Now, when you look into that, the apostles had something we don't have in the day and hour we're living in. Do you know there are no more apostles and there are no more prophets, and that according to the Bible. We don't have time to get into all of that business there, but let me tell you right now, the charismatic movement that's trying to call themselves apostle this or prophet that, they're just lying. There's not anybody witness the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of these old apostles. Let me tell you right now, is every apostle that you find in the Bible had been called and by the Lord. Now here's 12 disciples, and God's about to give them all authority, by the way. You know, when somebody goes to trying to tell you that, listen, how come you want to preach and be so adamant about what you're saying? God's given us an authoritative book here, that's why. Do you remember when Jesus Christ was preaching, the Bible said they were astonished at his doctrine because of the fact that he didn't preach like the scribes and he didn't preach like he was a Sunday school teacher. Nothing wrong with Sunday school teaching, but there comes a time, buddy, we ought to lift our voice like a trumpet and be able to proclaim the name that's above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this lesson you're looking at, we're talking about inspiration. We're talking about the breath of God. We're talking about the touch of God upon people that are willing to sing for the Lord, pray unto the Lord, preach for the Lord. And he sent these 12, and he sent them out there. And let me tell you, they certainly were to be fearless and have the authority to speak the word of God. Not only inspiration is mentioned here, but individuals. Did you notice that? Do you know that God looks at you and I individually? And whenever he sees us, let me tell you, he may have a purpose. He may have a plan for your heart and your life. And if he does, there'll be an individual call. There's always an individual call for a person to get saved by the grace of God. Nobody ever gets saved till God comes personally knocking upon your heart's door and makes it known to you that he's the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the Lord, I said this morning that he calls men, and he does. And he uses women, and he does. But let me tell you right now is when you begin to look into the Bible and you put people out on the battlefront. You know, I'm a little, you know, every now and again when I look at the feminist movement, I always want to puke because what rough-looking old gals that is most of the time. But now they're griping because of the fact the transgender that are named Larry and want to be called Lucy are out there competing with girls and they're winning all the trophies. And man, they've got some of the ugliest looking would-be, will-be, never-will-be women you ever laid your eyes on. You see some every now and again. I guess who they've got in their rally and trying to get them to help them. What's that queer with the Kardashian and all that bunch there? Anyhow, that dude there that wanted to be a woman. And what an ugly, long, lanky, nasty-looking excuse of a woman that he is. I've seen drunk women that were on dope, that were drunk out of their mind, that were just up and just looked like you'd drug them out of the ditch, look better than what he does. I mean, that's just sad. And so when you look into the Bible, you begin to recognize that, oh, that God calls men. He's about to tell these 12 to go out and preach. And fact is, you'll find in the Bible, remember, you can think about all the men that are in the Bible. We don't have time to list them all, but there was Adam and Noah and Moses and Peter and Paul and James and John, and you'll find Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and et cetera, et cetera, and et cetera, that God called and that God used individually. I think about some of those women, you know, that were there helping in the ministry. And boy, let me tell you right now is that everybody's going to remember Martha and Mary. They sang about them tonight. I got to say to you that if you will, we could go on and on and on. But make no mistake about it that our Lord looks at people individually. And let me say to you that I'm glad Isaac and Rebecca, and there's Abraham and his wife Sarah, that was Sarai, and changed her name to Sarah and this and that. We could just go on and on tonight, and if we wanted to go through and try to pick out, but there's a lot of individual people God had his eye on, God had his ear tuned into, and God used in a mighty way. Hey, you know God will use you if you'll just avail yourself of the grace of God. I mean, if you won't get so busy that, you know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They're just so busy that if God wanted to use them, can't, already got that time figured. I can't. God already got something else going. Can't. You see what I'm talking about? You know what's happening to us in the day we live in the work of God? Dying with cancer. You know what cancer is? Hey, I need you to help me do it. I can't. Sir, I can't, sir. I mean, that's true, isn't it? I want to say that whenever we stand before the Lord, you better not have your calendars filled up, your lives filled up, and go in so many different directions you had no time to be able to walk with Him. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find there's not only individuals, but there's instruction. Did you notice in verse number 6 what he said? I want you to go and preach the word. Boy, what a thing that is there, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, you know the reason why that he wanted to preach the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Now, you don't have to believe it, but it'll save your soul if you will believe it. Now, they went out there preaching because it converts souls if you give them out the gospel. And then I want to say to you that there was a man by the name of Herod. Remember him? He's that one that liked that dancing. Well, probably was a niece, you know, since he had sold his brother Philip's wife. And there she was, had that Herodias, you know, had that girl and danced and pleased him and all of that. And he made such a big promise to half of the kingdom. But she asked her old wicked, godless, wicked mama what she ought to ask for. And that woman hated John the Baptist so bad for preaching to him and his family to where she said, ask for John the Baptist's head on a charger. And let me tell you, the king was sad because of the oath shake, he went ahead and fulfilled that promise. Now, I said all that to be able to say this. In this lesson that we're looking at, when these 12 are going out and they're preaching everywhere and people are being saved and people are being touched and healed, is that it confuses Herod a little bit. In fact is, he's a little perplexed. In fact is, he's downright scared. Some people said, it sounded to me like John the Baptist has risen from the dead. Others said, no, but he's probably Elias or Elijah. And others said, no, it's one of the other prophets. But old Herod, if you remember, whenever he was looking there in about verse number, wherever it was that we've read, that when Herod said in verse number 9, he said, and John have I beheaded, but who is this whom that I hear such thing? And look, and he desired to see him. He wanted to see who this Jesus fellow was. Now, by the way, that's not the desire for conversion. It's not the desire that he might confess his wickedness. It's not the desire that he might be born into the kingdom of God. This is the desire of curiosity, not the desire of conversion. You know, there's a lot of people die without hope, without God, and you bust hell wide open because they were curious about God, but they never wanted to be converted by the grace of God. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out that old Herod was a little more than confused about it. Now, let me tell you what happens if God saves your soul. He'll change the direction you're headed. You was headed toward hell, now you're headed toward heaven. Not only that, but he'll change you as a person. Others can see the difference that he's made in your heart and in your life. They'll know that you're not the same person that you've always been. And then I want to say to you that, if you will, that every time there's been the call of God, it always troubles a sinner. It always troubles us. It troubled me. And when God showed me myself like he saw me and loved me in spite of that, I was able to call upon him and be born into the family of God. I want to tell you, the call of God brings conviction. And the preaching of the words, how God uses them. No wonder old Herod was so perplexed. He heard about these men, the holy boldness and the message of the Lord and the power of God that was upon them. And as a result of that, you'll find is that he was troubled. Now, let me tell you what we ought to learn from this. Those people who painted those silhouettes and called it pictures of Jesus that looked like a bunch of long-haired hippies or faggot-looking men and all that, they don't know what he looked like and all of that. But I got to tell you something. Our Lord was a powerful preacher. What do you think they mistook him for John the Baptist? You know, John the Baptist used no tact to attract, and they thought Jesus was him. What do you think these men like Elijah, whenever he walked up to old Ahab and said, it's not going to rain in this land anymore except by my word, thus saith the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, whenever he got together and, what, killed 400 plus prophets of Baal, you talk about a mighty man of valor. These are mighty men of valor. And John the Baptist, let me tell you right now, he used to have those people come to his baptism out there when he was baptizing in the Jordan River. And he said, who's warned you to flee the wrath that's to come? Go and bring forth fruits meet for repentance. He was a powerful preacher. Now, it cost him his life for all practical purposes, but he was a powerful preacher, the forerunner of Christ. I want to say to you, Some said this and some said that about who Jesus was. But you remember over there in the book of Matthew chapter 16, about verse number 16, that whenever Jesus there was speaking, he says, whom do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're Elias, one of the prophets, so forth and all. But whom do you say that I am? He asked Simon Peter, and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to tell you, and he said, flesh and blood hadn't showed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven has. I got to tell you right now, make no mistake about it, when John the Baptist brought Jesus up out of that Jordan River and that Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him and the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him, something to that effect. Whenever that happened right there, the next day, John the Baptist stood there and watched Jesus walk across the land and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Who is Jesus? He's the answer for the sin question. He's the answer for your lost condition. Let me tell you right now, make no mistake about it, last but not least, there's an indignation that's mentioned in this chapter. You can find it about verse 22. And the Bible said, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Did you notice that the rest of that chapter there, or at least the next few verses, because my word, the chapter's like 62 verses long. Did you realize that, though, that when the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected by the religious leaders? You know, if people got under conviction now that had any, I don't know, financial standing, political standing, or whatever, you know, the first thing they'd want to do is they'd want to call Dr. Doodle Stopper, as sound and brass and tingling cymbal. They'd want to call all of them. And here's what they'd do if any of you were to try to tell them, thus saith the Lord. Oh, I see. Have you got a degree? Are you a doctor in Hebrew and Greek? No, but I know how to read English. See? Most of those guys that are Hebrews and Greek scholarly men, they can't agree it among themselves. Why do you think there's so many versions of the Bible out on the market? There's only two versions, the one God wrote and all the other ones that want to imitate it. And they're 95% claiming the same thing. It's the 5% difference that we've got. In closing, that if you will, and I say it all the time just so you know it, I hold in my hand an old King James Bible, not a new King James, an old King James. And let me tell you something about it. It's pro-Christ. All the other versions have one thing in common. They're against the old King James Bible. But all the rest of them are pro-Catholic. I've showed you over and over again why that is and why that's true. But make no mistake about it, we live in a world of Christ rejectors, if you will please. I want to say to you that if you're going to follow the cross, the Bible said in the next few verses where we quit tonight, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, you know what? That's a daily thing you're going to have to do. I can promise you right now, have you been irritated today? Well, you will be tomorrow. It's a daily battle. Not only that, it's a daily blessing. Now, second of all, it's going to take some real determination on your part. You ever notice how when you make up your mind you're not going to sin and against the Lord, God's been condemning your heart about this or that, whether it be things you're looking at, things you're doing, things involved in, things just... Have you ever noticed how the old flesh goes crying out? Yes, you know, it's like, for instance, you know, if you're looking at a bad picture and you're looking at it right there and you're thinking, oh, man, I'm not going to sit and look at that no more. Well, maybe one more look. And you ever notice how flesh is? I mean, that's true, isn't it? You know, and as she looked across the table at Bill, she was finally interrupted by Sally coming in. An old flame. I'm not going to read no more of that. Well, maybe one more line for you. No. I'm just telling you, flesh is in the bargain bin. God's not, but flesh is. And don't think for one minute you don't have problems with that, but let me tell you, what you have to do is you've got to deny yourself. You know, self will get in the way if you're not careful when you're following the Lord. It'll get in the way. And let me tell you right now is that the devil, he don't really care if you're religious. He just don't like it when you get on your hands and knees and pray. He just doesn't like it when you open up that blessed book and ask God to hide it in your heart. He just doesn't like it whenever you're repenting toward God and believe in what thus saith the Lord to make you a better person, a better Christian, and so forth and on. All right? I got to say to you, I don't know about you, but I've not touched the hem of his garment through all these years in following Christ. But what a blessed Savior that we have to be able to follow. Do you know him? If not, you can come to know him in the free pardon of sin if you'd repent toward God and by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as he allows you and affords you that luxury and faith and pleasure. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. It's been a good day all the way around. And the Lord, we want to say thank you for all you've done, for all you're doing. I pray that you'd be with every home represented here tonight, be with those that could not be. I want to thank you, Lord, that salvation is for free, that it's for everyone that will receive it, and that it's for everlasting to those that do. Thank you now for loving us while we were unlovable.